As is tradition here on Down and Dome Thunderdome Metal Reviews, it is 420 and we have a marijuana themed album to discuss every year. And for this year, we have chosen Cypress Hill's Black Sunday. Now, many of you go like, that's not metal. How did we choose this one? So we were thinking about what album to do. I was hoping High on Fire's album would come out in time to do it, but it's not. So I was like, what if we did Cypress Hill? Because I was thinking of Rock Superstar. I was like, they do a lot of marijuana thing stuff. And that was very limited access to Cypress Hill. And Ben and Dave were like, yeah, let's do Cypress Hill. Let's do Cypress Hill. That is a great metal album to do. And so thus, we have done Cypress Hill Black Sunday for our 420 album. And with me, as always, brothers, is my brothers in arms, Ben, Gabe, and David. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Outlaw kicking like Billy Ray Cypress Hill. That's how I'm doing.
I believe that this happened, Tracy. That's how I am.
All I gotta say is, what go around, come around, kid.
We'll go around, come around indeed. So, outside of Rock Superstar, I don't really have much knowledge of Cypress Hill, but I'm sure the three Gen Xers on this podcast probably have a lot further understanding of them than I do.
Well,
I
I'm
suddenly
not.
got a generation upgrade.
You did. You sure did.
You got upgraded, Gabe. Ba
I
bam.
feel like Gabe's old
That's
enough
how it
to be
works.
one of those Xennials. Like, he's not
We
quite a Gen Xer, not quite a millennial, just in between.
gonna backdate your degree, son. Just this is an outfit I'm acquainted with. Yes, Tracy. I lived it as it was happening in 1993, and listened to this album way too fucking much. My school was going through changes, I'm going to say, in terms of its demographics. So every form of music was represented in a violent, exciting melange of styles. And my food service job, there were people that loved them too, like a lot. So for various reasons having to do with the nature of food service. So anyway, this seemed like a natural fit. This was like the first Latino hip hop outfit that got what I would call mainstream recognition. I mean, it went like platinum, I think at least once, twice. I mean,
Four
a
times.
bunch. Fuck, dude. Yeah, that's a lot of records for something like this. And I understand it's exactly in that key, interesting moment with like NWA and Dre is breaking out and all that shit is happening. West
Yes.
Coast.
Yeah, those had really kind of kicked open the door to the suburbs, and this came slinking in behind it, which it is the second studio album, Black Sunday, Cypress Hill, released on July 20th, 1993. Runtime of 43 minutes and 38 seconds. Released on Rough House in Columbia. Produced by DJ Muggs and T-Ray. Cypress Hill is B-Real on vocals, Sin Dog on vocals, DJ Muggs, turntables, arrangements, the executive production, programming, and mixing of the album. And there's a shit ton of engineers and producers who shall
Yes.
remain unnamed. So,
You can look it up.
yeah, for sure. There's a Wikipedia page. You can go right to it.
So Ben, was this in West Kentucky also? Surely it was like mandatory, right? In 1993 and
Oh,
all.
yeah, dude. I mean, like, I don't feel that it was as ubiquitous as the Chronic was the year before, but amongst the people that I knew who we were all jamming to that and like Ice Cube and this, so
Indeed.
and all those guys were metalheads, so there's a lot of metal crossover. Huge. And then when the video started hitting on MTV, it just took it to another level.
Yeah, no, for sure. Insane in the Brain. I mean, the minute you get a hit like that, 40 hit of the summer.
That was all over the place, man. And I wasn't actively listening to this stuff back then because I was not of an appropriate age by any stretch of the imagination.
Except now you are, right? We just
Right. No, but I
Tracy
mean,
just
like,
graduated you to that.
We
yeah,
just
no. But I distinctly remember seeing the video for this, like, back in the 90s, either like, shortly after it came out or whenever it was in the mid 90s, and I just thought this song was crazy good. I don't know why. It just catchy. So Yeah, it kind of has a place in my mind of like, you know, this is what I thought of as hip hop, like, you know, when I was sort of coming up and not quite like aware of the genre too much. Like, you know, I didn't really get that this was like special in any way. The guy had a weird sounding voice to me, you know, but it was distinctive. And I think that is probably what, like, you know, got a lot of people interested. And, you know, clearly talking a lot about drug stuff, which I also didn't really have context for back then, but, you know, all stuff you can catch up with later on, right?
The thing that stuck out to me about re-listening to this, because, you know, I still listen to like the hits every now and again, but I hadn't listened to the entire album, is how violent and gangster rappy it is, which I remember, you know.
Oh, I did.
So
it is very much of that moment before it had been shorn of some of its more rough edges.
For sure.
Like, it's not Two Live Crew, which is a whole different issue, or NWA, but it's also not DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. That's what
it is not. But like, I think they have a reputation for being more druggy and they're all talking 420, you know, or various other stuff. But, you know, I don't think they get the, or I did not remember them, despite the fact that it's like how I could just kill a man and hand on the pump and shit like that.
Nearly every song.
Right, yeah. But like, I don't think of them as being like as violent or in your face as like NWA or Ice Cube or anything like that. Though it really is.
This really is. Let's be factual. Yeah. East Side. Southgate did not come to play.
I was like, oh, yeah. What was I thinking?
But
it's time for action. But it just seems happier than that the other gangster rap.
It's deceptive.
It is super deceptive.
Maybe it's how they just the beats are just a little that's on the wider end and just kind of groovier with it.
Yes.
Instead of it just being
stomping. But they're so good. DJ Mix is so fucking good.
No, he's
and good. The samples of this album are so devastatingly effective.
Which interesting enough, I believe the samples for this album prepared me mentally for an album coming up later tonight.
I was wondering.
Which in a weird way kind of made that one a little more digestible.
I was wondering.
Interesting.
I was like, this band rhymes with Blinistry that historically has tied Tracy down and put eye drops in his eyes and made him watch samples, essentially. And
and this and that. So like, this one's like, here's some subtle sample intro. Here's let's ease you into it.
Well,
that wasn't planned.
Yeah, totally. The plan that Tracy came up with that he didn't know. Also, the fact that because of his DJ Muggs' work with House of Pain, like the sound was very familiar to House of Pain, which is not as the same as the others that we've been talking about sonically. Mm-hmm. It gives it some of that distinctive sound coming from DJ Muggs and the use of the samples and the instrumentation or production that they values that they use. Mm-hmm. But it is not as lyrically close as some of the other aforementioned acts.
Yeah, I think I didn't really definitely not at the time, but you know, later on I got this album at some point. And, you know, listening to the album for this, it really keyed me into the production, which I really didn't pay too much attention to before. I mean, I recognize sort of that, you know, that style from House of Pain, but also just like it didn't occur to me how sparse it is.
Yes, and, extremely.
You know, it's most of it is like this, you know, acoustic upright and like little weird horn bits.
Squeeze.
Some of it kind of works, but a lot of it is kind of boring, to be honest. It's like, if I'm gonna have a bone to pick, is that it's a little bit on the samey side from the production end of things and a little bit boring. Because obviously it takes me back to that whole thing that was going on in the early 90s with this sort of you know, kind of easy boom bappy kind of production, but it's also just pretty straightforward and not a lot of frills, because the emphasis here is clearly on B-Real's voice, and rightly so. He's got an interesting voice. He's got a good flow. I don't think that the beats are necessarily doing anything to mesh in an interesting way with his voice. They're kind of backed up. Like, they're just like, okay, we're going to let the big guy do like what he's going to do. Maybe someone else feels differently about that. But that's sort of the sense that I got listening to this a few times. It got sort of samey. And I was like, huh, some of this is really, really cool. Some of it I could take or leave. Like, you know, it could be something else.
Yeah. I'm coming at it from a very different, I guess, perspective than you guys are, because my early exposure to rap was much more that 2000s post, like heavy bass, yeah, little lyrical, sure, and like, I guess you could say, like, the lyrics weren't as much as just a lot of bass work and a lot of more, I guess you could say, a little more like chanting, kind of like sing-along-y, and almost in a sense like to consider it, Tom Haverford's bangers, that's what I call them. Like, it's kind of one of more of the sound that it kind of reminded me of, like, it's what my introduction. So like, there's this wall that I didn't experience a lot of the early rap growing up, unless I've come recently gone and found it, and like, I've done, you know, the Chronic, Lethal Injection, and Ice Cube, and this and a couple others. And so it's like, it's a very interesting kind of taking it, coming into it very like an early 90s viewpoint and seeing it. And I feel like this is easier for me to get into than the stuff that like was big during my time period.
That's cool. That makes sense.
And I do kind of enjoy kind of the pared back stuff a little bit, sure, more.
From Public Enemy to Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah. I mean, because like Usher, yeah, hit when I was in high school. And good God, these things are in different end of the spectrums in terms of like what's going on and what they're doing.
yeah, it's much more on the this is end of the spectrum.
I was gonna say, like, it's way closer to that than
to this.
Sure.
And it's interesting because I can see what you're saying, Gabe, but to me, and I'm sure that it's not actually like, or if it is actually an upright bass, it's a sample of an upright bass, not somebody actually
the upright bass. Sure.
But it reminded me of, like, you know, I don't want to go all the way to jazz or blues, but like live music. It sounded like something that could be, you know, replicated on stage very easily in a way that it was not relying on, like, the wizardry of sampling and stuff that was going on, especially on, like, Dre's albums and on some acute stuff.
Yeah, it makes it feel a lot more organic in that way. Mm-hmm. That's cool. It definitely has a place.
I feel like I saw them at one of those. It's all blurring together. All those damn festivals.
Yeah,
in the 90s, I feel like
a Lollapalooza.
One of those. I think
Family Values.
I've seen them twice. Anyway, they are fun live and did manage to replicate a lot of this insane energy, even though it was hot as balls. It's always hot as balls.
Do you have an example of the way this pure random chaos works in my life? I just randomly picked How High to watch this earlier this week, and Cypress Hill makes a cameo in that one as well.
That does not shock me.
Yeah, me neither.
They've maintained their relationship with being high far longer than their relationship with the AK-47 or the Glock 17. Like,
it's more sustainable.
It's more sustainable. Yeah. They've backed off the arms race.
They're not gonna take a sponsorship from Glock now, you know. It's just like not
they're not.
It's not that practical. Lines
have been drawn. Yeah, it's just not practical. It's just not done.
Sure. Yeah.
Big hardcore potentially. C. Big AK? I don't think so. Oh man. Do we need to figure out anything else before we talk about Lita?
I don't think so.
All right, I think it's all you right first, Ben. No, this was a Tracy madness at pick, so I guess Tracy has to go first. I'm so used to it, as per your statement earlier, Gabe, so used to Ben's being first. I'm like, obviously, this is Ben's pick.
I mean, in a way, I made the suggestion, and Ben gave it.
We were like, yes.
Yes, don't tell him it's not right.
What you just said.
So, I pulled off of here for my rap and everything playlist.
Is that your way of saying all of them?
No. I accidentally muted myself. I
think you did. I did it. I know you did. It was, and you were going too. I was like, oh, wait.
I actually hit the enter button by my keypad, and that's, apparently that is a mute button. So, so I want to get high, insane in the brain when shit goes down, hits from the bong. And I'm just going to say this, for the longest time, I'd see like the track name, and for some reason I thought little three little putos was three little Plutos, and I was like, what the fuck is Plutos doing with this? Oh, and I was like, God. And then I just looked at it and just I'm like, oh, okay, that's
oh, not Plutos. No, it is not that.
It makes more the lyrics make more sense now. I mean, now just everything makes a little more sense.
They were incensed that lost its status as a planet.
Right, so that's the kids' bop version of the song.
they're coming looking for Neil deGrasse Tyson, just like yo.
The three little Plutos.
But yeah, I mean, I was enjoying this album overall. It was just kind of cool to kind of come in and do this.
You know, I'm fuck it. I'm gonna say all of them, dude. I enjoyed going back and listening to this entire album. I do think probably the first half of it, up through Three Little Putos, is the best. But there's some great stuff on the back of it too. But yeah, I can listen to all of this, and the fact that it's not super duper long really helps out too.
Man, it's only 44 minutes.
Yeah,
even though it's this many songs. I mean, I don't have a whole lot to add other than all of them. I too liked those first songs. Man, I Won't Get High is such a good intro, but I Ain't Going Out Like That is where the album like finally comes at you with a rusty screwdriver.
Yeah.
Right, with that stand-up bass, and it's just, it's so cool. Insane in the Brain goes with that saying. When the Shit Goes Down, I love so many second songs. Hot Cock the Hammer is really good.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a shout-out to A to the K. Again, yeah. We're not taking their money, but anyway, it's...
Hand on the Glock.
Hand on the Glock. I mean, I'm just naming songs at this point. Yeah, anyway,
sure. I mean, it's just crazy. It's either about pot or killing somebody. That's like there's no in between.
Or killing people because of pot, or in the name of pot. What I need is them in Brujeria to combine forces.
It's already more topics than Limp Bizkit, so I think we're. I would not say all of them necessarily, but I liked most of these. And I'll give a little shout out to Lick a Shot and Cock the Hammer because those are good. That opener is kind of a sleeper, but it's also just a really good opener.
It is. It's a slow build. While not being a stupid intro, though, which I'm not often a fan of.
Insane in the membrane.
Oh God! Yeah, that is how it went at the time, and now apparently.
All right, let's grade it. Let's see if its nostalgia holds it high or.
Well, you know already.
I got the no. Don't do that from Haley already.
Don't do what?
Don't do the insane in the brain.
Oh my God, you got a text about that?
Yes.
That's marvelous. Well, okay. It's
too late.
It already happened.
Yep.
It already happened.
Shown Pasir. Sorry, Rand.
Oh, well. Yep.
All right, Tracy, you have to grade it first before your sins.
Grade it? Yeah.
Exactly.
We're giving it a B+. This was a pretty badass kind of. This was outside of Rock Superstar. This is my first introduction to Cypress Hill, like full on. I thought I just associated with marijuana. They're obviously marijuana and killing motherfuckers. It's one or two. It's a very
Come on, Tracy. There's
sometimes both. Sometimes there's A and B going on.
A and B, but it's never far between. So I'm gonna give this a B plus, pretty solid album overall. Interested to see some of the other stuff, and so maybe I'll get to them eventually. But definitely B+.
Who's next?
I'll go next. I'm pretty much right there with Tracy. This is a B plus. I wouldn't rate it more highly than this, because I don't think that they're like the best band of this era. And certainly, I mean, there's so many other artists you could go to who have this as a topic or A, B, and A and B separately as topics. So who I would probably rate more highly just in terms of like how interesting I find them, whether it be in the lyrics department or the production department. But this is like, you know, it's of an era. I liked
it's
it.
It's of an era. Look it up.
Look it up. It's an album that came out in the 90s.
Came out in the 90s. It's right there in black and white, friends. Well, I don't be real thinks you're that interesting. I don't know. I of course, because
I'm probably not very interesting.
We can ask B-Real when we talk to him. I hate the Dean. The Dean hates me, and I loved this album at the time, and think it's cool and important and fun, and so I'm going to give it an A, like a Tool, and I don't care. That's what I'm going to give it.
Yeah.
Gabe's face right now.
I'm going to have to be there with David. I was debating like giving it an A-, but really this was like unique, because this was like, and maybe not unique in like musical history or anything like that, but for me, it was the first Latin influenced rap album that I heard. Yes. So it has, so, same. You know, so yeah, it's an A. Shout out, B Real's getting all the love as he should, but fuck, I love Sindog and I love Sindog's voice, and yeah, his verses on this are really great too. So yeah. Don't make Stevie wonder why I'm giving this an A.
Sorry, guys.
Yep. I feel Gabe feels about you guys giving an A, like I felt about a random ass of the Wizard sample showing up in that out that song. I'm like, okay, that's a choice there. So it gives an average of A- a 92.
Oh yes.
That, I guess, is one of those legacy albums like we just needed to do it and got it done.
It's done.
By grades, I think we'd all buy this album. I think I'm the only one that didn't have an actually fit bought a physical copy of it at some point.
I had this. I'll do it again.
Had it, yeah.
And Gabe said he bought it, so I'm the only one that hasn't bought a physical copy of it. So
what are you waiting for?
Yeah, come on, Tracy. Jesus.
When Spotify goes out of business and I no longer can just stream music for whatever I pay a month for it.
Sure, sure.
Yep. All righty. That leads us to our next album, courtesy of Ben, and it's his new album pick for the month of March of this year, and it is Motorhead Overkill.
Mm-hmm. Neither new nor Motorhead. Released in March of this year. So,
yeah, surprise, there's not a new Motorhead. By way of a time portal, it should be amazing. We just make them write more albums in the 70s.
Indeed.
Just newfound album.
I mean, if Project Regeneration can work, this can work.
That reminds me, did you all see the news story where Kiss sold their likenesses and catalog for $500 million?
That is the least surprising headline I've heard in my life.
Just like,
local band that cites Kiss as an influence also sucks.
Eventually, we're going to have to get to some Kiss, but
I know
next year's the year of Kiss, or that could be our Halloween stuff. That could be our Halloween pick this year.
Oh man, Gabe and I fake seizures. I don't know. Well, we just. Gabe's porthole breaks and he flies out into space. I mean, that's it.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about Kiss sometime for sure.
We should. I don't know about all the Kiss. But
yes. No,
because there's a lot of really bad Kiss.
There's so much. Please don't.
Yeah. But the reason that I'm stalling is because they did just release a Lost Tapes Collected box set for Motorhead in February of this year.
And there it is.
Because, you know, the name still sells. And there we go.
There we go. Well, we're going to talk about it next time on Thunderdome Metal Reviews. Because
we ain't going out like that.
I want to get
there we go.
Broken Macaw.